Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Lord, it's great to have you in a house of God. It looks like we have a lot of suckers, so if any adults want any suckers, I'm sure Morgan will allow y'all to get some, amen? Because we don't want to play favorites. Oh, they're Jeremy's. But it's great to have you in the house of the Lord. Are you blessed this morning? Are you excited to get into God's Word? His Word is life, right? His Word, His power, everything is seen and reflected in this Bible. So this morning, we're going to dive into His Word, knowing that He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And everything we have is because of Jesus. As we continue our series, Salvation is a Person, we're talking about an encounter with Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, when we have an encounter with Him, our lives are never the same. He transforms us. He changes us. And we become something we could not be on our own. It's not works. It's not effort. It's not trying to do good. It is receiving the goodness of God in our lives. And understanding that when I am with Jesus, I become something better. I'm sanctified and transformed. My heart is changed into something I could not be on my own. It doesn't mean the journey's easy, but it means He is with us from the beginning to the end, then for all eternity. That is His promise. So let's go into John chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, to get a further understanding of what Jesus is saying. When He encounters us, and what He's saying here, when He says, remain in Me, and I will remain in you. This is about relationship. This is relationship talk. This is not about a process or coming to church to be in this process that gets you to God. We want you to come to church. We want you to be part of our church family. But church is only a vehicle to get you connected with Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the vehicle to get you an understanding that it is about relationship with our Lord and Savior. So He's talking about remain in Me and I will remain in you. This is commitment relationship. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless what? You remain in Him. He goes on to say, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in Me and I in them will produce much fruit. And I love this part. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in Me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. So what is Jesus is proclaiming here is about relationship and remaining in this relationship with Him, having this relationship with Him and the benefits of that relationship in our lives. Because Jesus Christ has made a commitment to us. Even if we walk away from Him, He's not going to walk away from us. Amen. And even if we separate ourselves and say, Lord, I am not worthy, and we dirty ourselves up because of sin, Jesus still receives us. He still accepts us because He said He'll never leave us. He'll never depart from us. And in Him, we will produce much fruit. But without Him, we can do nothing. So what is Jesus talking about? Apart from Him, I can do nothing. He's talking about a dependency upon Jesus Christ. The more we walk with the Lord, the more dependent upon Him we get. The more dependent upon His ways, more dependent we gain from Him. We don't get independent, amen? The world says strength is independence. The Bible says strength is dependency upon Him. He's not growing us, maturing us, so one day we can depart from His house and go on our own. No, He's growing us and molding us into his image so we fit perfectly in this relationship with him that cannot be broken. And we are in this wonderful connection with him that the more I grow, the more I understand his word, the more I follow him, the more dependent upon him I get. That he is in me and I am in him. Just think about that fact right now. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Commitment. It's a simple commitment we make to him and for him and walking with him. And this dependency grows in every part of our life. The Bible talks a lot about perfection. But perfection in Scripture is not about being perfect in actions or being strong. Perfection is being connected and dependent upon him for every single thing. That I don't even think without his thoughts filling my mind. I don't even speak unless it's his words speaking through me. I don't even act unless it's his actions flowing through me. I am completely consumed with him, and he is consumed with me, for this is not religion, this is perfection in him. So that's what I want to get into this morning. Dependency on Christ through all seasons of life so we can produce fruit, and that fruit will show the world that Jesus Christ is living through us and amongst us, and he loves this world. So let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Are you with me this morning? I know, you know, it's a summer day. It's been rainy. Now it's hot. But it's great to have you here in the house of God as we dive into his word. Because sometimes God can reach out and just touch us one Sunday, and it changes everything. And I pray that this Sunday is that for you. He says, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. I know you look at that verse and say, why is that verse in the Bible? Why is Paul talking about this? We're not supposed to say the S word in church, amen? We're not supposed to say suffering. And not only talk about suffering, but the privilege to suffer for him. And if we look at on this on the surface level in the worldview, it is something that's not appealing. But when we dive into relationship, we understand it is something we long for, we run to. Suffering for him simply means to endure hardship, persecution, or affliction because of one's relationship and commitment to Jesus Christ. We will all face this going forward with Jesus. We will all have hardship, persecution, affliction of some kind in this world. But if we do it for him, we will find something we could not find in suffering for ourselves, suffering in this world. This world cannot offer us what Jesus Christ can offer us, even in the midst of hardship and going through a tough season. How many of us are going through a tough season? Amen? So we're all either going through something, coming out of something, or about to go in something. Amen? I know that doesn't sound very appealing, right? But it's not about the comfort of this world. It's about knowing him as Lord and friend and savior. When we understand that, it transforms us. So let's go further into this to learn how in hardship and in my suffering, when I don't get my way, that he is there revealing himself to us and through us. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, as we know this scriptures. But I want to start with verse 13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. Sermon done. Message done. We could all go home, right? Right? That's it. It's done. No, right? Only if it was that simple. But when we isolate that scripture, we don't get the full context of what Paul's saying here, the full understanding of what we will go through in this world. So let's look at verse 11. Not that I was ever in need. So Paul is saying, not that I was ever in real need with Jesus, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. When I was young in ministry, in my 20s, I was never content. When I was in that little bitty building called New Beginnings Church in my hometown, and it was this, I would say, awful experience. But now I see it as a great experience because it broke me, broke my pride, and the Lord built me back up. But I did not understand contentment. But as I look back now on the journey and path, I'm like, well, duh, it was leading to something greater. But in that moment, oftentimes we can't see what God is doing in the pain, in the hardship, in need. But Paul's saying, I've learned how to be content because contentment plus godliness, the scripture says, is great gain. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So now we see the context of that. So Paul's saying you're going to have seasons in life where you have a lot and you have little. There's going to be seasons in life where you have great health and then you have bad health. You're going to have seasons in life where everything's going great, then everything all of a sudden is going bad. There's a calm sea, everything's going great, and all of a sudden the storm comes. But regardless of what the situation brings me, Paul's saying, I can weather the storm and I can do it through Jesus Christ. That is the hope we have in our discomfort, in our suffering, is in Jesus, the person. Not just stories, not just traditions, but a person of Jesus Christ. When we fall in love with Jesus and follow him, he doesn't go anywhere. He's with us through all seasons of life. We can't shake him. We can't get rid of him. Amen? Because he's stuck with us and we're stuck with him. And we can do all things through him who gives us strength. And we can endure seasons of suffering knowing that season of suffering is going to bring me a knowledge of who he is, a revelation of who he is. Church, you know, I'm a pastor and this is what the Lord's called me to do. But if I wasn't a pastor, I'm not sure how interested in church I would have been, especially early on. I was a preacher's kid, saw things, went through things. I really did not have a great view on church because I saw church as a place where I saw my parents hurt, saw adversity, hardship. I saw poverty. My parents go through poverty for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the Lord. I saw all these different things, but what I look back and see now is I see the consistency in blessings of God. Because as I look at my parents' life, God poured out his blessings on them where it overflowed. So I never fell in love with church. I fell in love with Jesus. And when I fell in love with Jesus, I wanted to run the church. I wanted to read his Bible because I wanted to know more about him. Amen? Do we see? If we put him first, everything flows, everything goes the way it should go. And in our deepest, darkest suffering, he's there with us. He's there with you. And when we come out of that suffering, out of that darkness, he is faithful and he is just. And we know we can weather all storms through him who gives me strength. And that's a powerful scripture when it's combined with the understanding of what Paul is saying. So let's move forward. When we go through storms, when we go through tough places, it makes us weak. Amen. Sometimes it makes us weak in our body, in our flesh, in our spirit, in our mind. And oftentimes we think weakness is bad, for this world says weakness is bad, you have to be strong. But we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, Paul paints a different picture. He gives you a personal insight to his struggle. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations of everything the Lord was showing him, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." So Paul's revealing the struggle. So Paul's saying, so I don't get prideful. I don't get conceited. I don't think of myself more highly than I ought to. This thorn in my side was placed right there of discomfort. We don't know what the thorn was, if it was a person, of a physical ailment, or a combination of things. We don't know, but what's important is to understand the wisdom that came from this. He said, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect, complete in weakness.'" So how many times we have prayed God to deliver us out of something, to remove something from our life, and he did not do that? Is it just me? Oh, okay. I just want to make sure that I'm not the only one who has prayed, "Lord, remove this from me." And the Lord says, "Nah, I'm just going to leave it right there." I'm like, "You got to be kidding me, Lord." You know how many times I've tried to run from God and all you're doing is just running in circles until you get exhausted and you're like, okay, Lord, I surrender. And Paul was doing the same thing. He's like, "Lord, take this from me. Take this from me." And he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When things are coming into our lives that make us grow weak, grow dependent upon him, we become strong in the Lord. Because he says here that the power of God does not rest upon strength. It rests upon what? Weakness. Our weakness. So the weakness you have in your life is there by design to draw you closer to him, to create dependency upon him so that his power flows through you. See, I struggled with this because, as you know, I couldn't speak. I couldn't articulate words. I had a speech impediment that I did not have the ability to get up before people and speak. So when the Lord called me into ministry, I was like, you have the wrong Josh, all right? He's somewhere else. Go find him. I can't do this. I said, "I'm weak, Lord. I can't speak. How can I preach and teach your word if I can't even have the power to get up before people? Even a small group, I'd get anxiety and I feel like I was going to pass out." And all these things would come upon me. And the Lord said, "I don't care. I've called you to do this." It's when I looked in his word and I saw that his strength rests upon our weakness, it all began to make sense. He doesn't call you to do something you can do. He calls you to do something you can't do on your own, so that he can partner with us to do something greater than ourselves. Then we see Paul's attitude changed in the next verse. He said, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." See, that statement seems to contradict each other, right? If I'm weak, how can I be strong? Because our strength does not come from ourselves, it comes from him. Do you really think David could have killed a giant on his own? Do you really think that? No, right? It was impossible, right? How can a little shepherd boy go up before this giant and slay him? It is because of the power of God that rests upon weakness. And Saul was trying to put his armor on David. He was trying to get him ready. And David's like, no, I'm just going to do what I always do. I'm going to take the sling, and I'm going to put a rock in it. I'm going to hit him in the head, and he's going to die because of who God is. He delivered me from the lion and the bear, and he'll deliver me from this Philistine. And that's exactly what happened. It's the strength of God is evident in our weakness. And when we are weak, then he is strong in us. So trials and tribulations and suffering draws us to weakness, and we go through that, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Then out of the weakness, his power rests upon us, and we feel and we understand something we did not understand before. Then that draws us to a dependency on him through our whole life. And Jesus talks about this in John chapter 7, verse 10, when he calls himself our good shepherd. He said, then Jesus said to them again, explaining his parable, explaining his story, most certainly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Then he makes this statement. The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Aren't we trying to find this abundant life? Aren't we seeking it, trying to find it? Trying to find the source of this abundant life. But this abundant life does not come from this world. It does not come from money. It doesn't come from titles, salaries, positions of power. This abundant life comes from Jesus Christ. And this abundant life means a life that is overflowing, full, rich, and beyond what is ordinary because of Jesus' presence and his work in us. That means in every spot in life. As Paul said, I had a lot, I've had little, but his presence and his abundance was with me this whole time. How could Paul say at the end of his life, when he was about to be executed for his faith in Jesus, say, I fought the good fight, I've ran the race, and my time has come. How can someone be excited about dying for Jesus? Because his cup was overflowing with the abundance and richness of knowing him, and it overtook every situation. Aren't we trying to find that in this world? Isn't the world trying to sell you on that? We have life coaches, we have self-help books, we have all these things to try to get us to happiness. But the happiness we're seeking is not of this world. Isn't that kind of a cruel situation? Where the enemy's saying, chase this, chase this, chase this, knowing we'll never find it, we'll never have it. It's like sand in our hand. It just fades away. But what Jesus is offering is not of this world, is of him. And that we can have a life more abundantly. Does he want us to prosper? Yes, he does. Does he want us to have more? Yes, he does. But we will also go through seasons where we have less, but we'll never know it in him. I look back on our years of early ministry when everything was tight financially. You know, we didn't have the big church. We didn't have all the nice things. And I realized how rich we were then that I didn't fully grasp and understand. And sometimes I look back and lament and say, Lord, I didn't fully see, I didn't fully understand how much abundantly you were blessing us. And I didn't fully grasp it because I was looking for the blessings that come from this world. but he fully wraps us in his blessings, in his love, in his presence. Because we see here in Psalms 37, 25, and 26, David proclaims the statement, I've been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. This David making this observation in his life, a powerful observation. He was saying, I used to be young and have strength, now I'm old and weak, but I've never seen God forsake me or God forsake his righteous. And I've never seen his descendants begging for bread. Church, this is the God we serve. He's always faithful, he's always there, and he always loves us. And all we have to do is follow him. Is follow him and understand how much he truly loves us. The scripture says, taste and see that God is good. Can we do that this morning? Can we taste and see that God is so good this morning? You know, church, what we're going to do in a moment is take time to observe what Jesus did on the cross and the suffering he went through and the pain he went through for our salvation and the blood he shed on that cross and the blood that ran from him is a gift to all of us. And this morning, now we get to partake of that as remembrance of what he did. So church, I want to pray over us. Then I want to go into this special time of breaking the bread and drinking the juice that represents his body and blood. Because salvation is a person, and that person laid down his life for us, and that person is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we proclaim who you are and the intention of your heart this morning. Lord, bless everyone here this morning. Lord, we are so blessed to be a part of this growing, loving church family. Lord, you have big things for us at the way. I know you do. And as we take time to reflect what you did, Lord, let us see the big thing you did for us. Over 2,000 years ago, you laid down your life as the lamb and you rose it back up again for our benefit. Not for your benefit, but for our benefit. Now we can call you Savior and we can call you Lord. And we can be a part in this covenant with you, in this relationship with you, in this time on earth, we can walk it with you. Lord, we're so thankful for this opportunity to be in this relationship with you. Lord, bless us, let us understand. In your precious name. Church, on that upper room, thousands of years ago, we had a time that was a festival, the time to remember what God did in Egypt, the Passover. But what they didn't fully grasp and understand was that Jesus was setting forth a new way to remember that day. And that new way to remember was his life given as a sacrifice, his life given as a perfect lamb. And this is what we reflect on this morning. So this morning, I'm going to ask my helpers to come up, my servers to come up. We're going to just take this moment in time to reflect and understand of what of what Jesus did. He took the bread and he broke it and he passed it to his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body that is broken for you." Then he took the wine and he poured it in a cup. And he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins." Just put yourself in that upper room and you're trying to understand what Jesus was fully saying, what Jesus was fully doing. But what he was showing was a love that is hard to comprehend in our earthly mind. To freely give of yourself, to freely give of one's own body, his own blood for us. But church, this is what he did. So this morning I want to take time to pray over the elements. And I want to invite you up. I'm going to serve the servers, then I'll invite you up. The table here is open for everyone. You don't have to be of a certain background. You don't have to even come to our church. It's open to everyone because his grace is for all of us. And this sacrifice is for all of us. And that's what we celebrate this morning. This is not an elite club we're in. No, this is for all of us through our friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you for your body. Thank you for your blood. And thank you for this experience we have to remember what you did for us on that cross. To remember what you did for us. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for that opportunity. In your precious and holy name, amen and amen. Amen. His name is powerful. I love those words. He has no rival and no equal. He never had a beginning, and he'll never have an end, and we'll never have an end in him. Amen. He's won every battle. He's above all things, and he loves us. Church, it's great to be part of this church family. I mean, when I say we have the best staff, the best worship team, the best people, the best volunteers, I truly mean it. And I truly believe God is doing something special in our midst, amen? Something truly special. So I just want to thank you for being a part of it. Invite a friend, invite someone to be a part of this growing, thriving church family, amen? Because God has great things for us. And he has great things for you individually. We will have obstacles, we have trials and tribulations, but in him we will overcome. So have a blessed week in the Lord, because we know Sundays are better together and they're better with you. So we'll see you next week, because God has great things for us. Have a blessed one.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.